Greetings and welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church on Kirkpatrick Road in Burlington, North Carolina. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. If you'd like to correspond with Pastor Barkman and the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. The Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. Now with today's message from God's Word, here is Pastor Greg Barkman.
Well, we come now to the person of the ministry. We dealt last time with the work of the ministry. In fact, we talked about that for several broadcasts because that's vitally important. And if we're talking about how to succeed in the ministry, which is the theme of 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 13 through 16, we have to start with the public preaching and teaching of God's Word, which is first priority. But there's more to it than that. There's more to it than simply having an ability to teach, to speak publicly, to be able to read Scripture well, to be able to declaim, to declare, to speak well. There's more than a speaking gift that's involved here. There is the qualities and qualifications of the man himself that are vitally important. And that's what we get to now, the person of the ministry, the private aspects of ministry, which must also be in place if a man is to have a successful ministry in the eyes of God. And so thank you for joining us on this Tuesday, April 13, for the Beacon Broadcast. And I don't know how to adequately express thanks to those whose financial gifts make it possible for the Beacon Broadcast to continue on this and other stations. Well, we read verse 13 of 1 Timothy 4, "Till I come, give attention to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine." We've covered that. Now verse 14. "Do not neglect the gift that is in you, which was given to you by prophecy with the laying on of the hands of the eldership." The Old King James says presbytery, the New King James says eldership. "Meditate on these things and give yourselves entirely to them, that your progress might be evident to all. Take heed to yourself and to the doctrine, continue in them, for in doing this you will save both yourself and those who hear you." So now the person of the ministry, and it begins with his selection in verse 14. And again, I read that. "Do not neglect the gift that is in you, which was given to you by prophecy with the laying on of the hands of the eldership." His selection. The man who is going to be God's spokesman, God's representative, God's messenger in the work of the ministry, must be a man who is called by God, gifted by God, and recognized by the Church of God. First of all, he must be called by God, and that's what's indicated by that word prophecy. "Do not neglect the gift that is in you, which was given to you by prophecy." Which was given to you by prophecy. Now, exactly how to understand that phrase is not the easiest thing to do. How was Timothy's gift, his call, his recognition that God wanted him in the ministry, how was this communicated to Timothy by prophecy? We know what prophecy is. We know that prophecy is the word of God. We know that when we're talking about prophets, it is the word of God that comes to the prophet in order that he might declare it to others. There were Old Testament prophets, and they received divine revelation, which they declared to others. A prophet is a mouthpiece, a spokesman for God. There were New Testament prophets who did exactly the same. They received divine revelation. They communicated that to the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. So prophecy is the activity whereby the Spirit of God speaks his word to a man, and that man will pass it on to others. Now, the question is, How did Timothy become aware of his call into the ministry? By prophecy. The gift that is in you, which was given to you by prophecy. Some have believed that this was the prophetic word which came to Timothy, that God spoke to Timothy directly and said to Timothy, I want you to preach. I want you as a minister of my word. That's certainly possible. Others have thought that this was the prophetic word that came to Paul, that the Holy Spirit said to Paul, I want Timothy to preach. And Paul communicated that to Timothy and said, God told me that God has called you to preach. Or, if not Paul, perhaps someone else with the prophetic gift, because there were certainly other prophets, though Paul would be the primary candidate in the case of Timothy, because we know of the close association which they had. And if that association was strengthened by Paul being God's representative to Timothy in regard to his call to the ministry, then that might explain something of the very strong relationship between them, the very high level of loyalty which Timothy had to Paul when others forsook him. We're really not sure what is meant by this prophecy that came to Timothy, but we do know that this indicates something about a call of God. Timothy was called of God, and he had to come to be absolutely certain of that fact. That much we can know, I think, with assurity. Exactly how that came to him is a little bit puzzling. How does that come to any preacher today? Well, in some way, God impresses upon a man that he has been called of God to preach. He has this impression. He has this sense of a call. Sometimes he will try to ignore it, try to avoid it, try to do anything else. In fact, Charles Spurgeon recommended that if a man could do anything else, he should. His conviction was that the call of God must be so strong, so compelling in the life of a man, that he cannot do anything else. If he can successfully give his attention, his energies, and his focus to something else, then evidently that wasn't a call of God. If he can shrug it off, shake it off, forget it, ignore it successfully to do something else instead, then evidently that's not a call of God. We can all have fleeting impressions, but if it's going to be a call of God to preach, it has to be a lasting impression, one that cannot be shaken. So he needs to be called. But secondly, he needs to be gifted. That takes us back to the first part of the phrase, do not neglect the gift that is in you. The Greek word is charisma, a gift, which I take it to mean the aptitude to teach, which Paul has already talked about in chapter 3. A bishop must be blameless, the husband of one wife, temperate, sober-minded, of good behavior, hospitable, able, or apt to teach. And we talked about that when we were in chapter 3, this aptitude to teach, which is essential for the public ministry of God's word. That's essential for a pastor. That's essential for a missionary. That's essential for anyone who holds an office, a preaching office, a pastoral office, a ministry office. He has to have a recognized gift, an ability to teach, which is evidently God-given. I say evidently God-given because I mean by that that it is apparent for others to see. And that brings us to the third area of the selection of the man. His calling and giftedness must be recognized by others. Do not neglect the gift that is in you, which was given to you by prophecy, with the laying on of the hands of the eldership, laying on the hands of the presbytery. Now, what does that mean? It almost sounds like the elders, Paul and other elders, laid their hands on Timothy and transferred this gift to teach, this call to ministry to him, that there was some kind of a transfer from Paul's hands to Timothy's head or something like that. At least that's the way we do it. We lay hands on a person's head, sometimes on their shoulder. It's really not vital, which it is. And that there's some kind of a transfer, like in the Old Testament when a priest laid his hands upon the sacrifice that was going to be consumed upon the altar, and the symbolism was that the sins of the person who brought that sacrifice were symbolically transferred onto the animal, transferred away from the worshiper onto the sacrifice, and in that way his sins were dealt with. And of course, though sins could not truly be transferred to an animal, because an animal could never satisfactorily bear the punishment for sin, all of that was symbolic of the coming of Christ, but that's a good symbol of what takes place. When we lay hold of Christ by faith, our sins are transferred to Christ, and his righteousness is transferred to us. Is that what's taking place here? Do not neglect the gift that is in you, which was given to you by prophecy, with the laying on of the hands of the eldership. Or is this identification? And I think that's what it is. This is the church's recognition of this man's call, giftedness, and suitability for the ministry. There's a twofold aspect to a man's call to the ministry. There is his own impressions. He believes that he's been called of God. He thinks he has an aptitude to teach. But then there's the recognition of others that he is, in fact, called of God, gives evidence of it. He does, in fact, have an aptitude to teach, and he is, in fact, qualified according to the qualifications for pastoral office that are given to us in 1 Timothy chapter 3, as well as in Titus chapter 1. And that's a good guard. People don't go into the ministry simply on their own say-so. I've been called. I know I've been called. So I'm not going to let anything or anybody get in my way. I'm going to follow the call of God. There needs to be a humility. There needs to be a recognition that I could be mistaken. It's all right for me to say I think that God may have called me. I have some thoughts that God may be calling me into the ministry, but there should be the humility, the willingness, the desire to lay that impression, as it were, before others and say, now you tell me what you see. You tell me what you think. Do you think I have been called, or am I mistaken? Do you think I have an aptitude to teach, or am I mistaken? Do you think I am qualified in other ways for pastoral office, or am I mistaken? If a man's not willing to do that, then he disqualifies himself because of his independence, his arrogance, his lack of submission to proper authority, to the church. There's this twofold thing here. The church and the man. Sometimes men hardly recognize their own giftedness and their own call, and it's more apparent to others than to them, and it takes a lot of persuading by others to convince a man that he has, in fact, been called to the ministry. But that has happened, and we have to recognize that sometimes that's the way it goes. Other times, a man might be very certain, but other people are just not convinced. But when you have a man who feels that he has been called to preach, and you have a good biblical church, and the leaders of that church who also concur that this man gives every evidence that he's been called to preach, there you have a candidate for ministry. And you can select that person for his work. Until tomorrow, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you his eternal peace.